all of us need and rely on care and provide it at different points in our lives. And so that's why we say it's essential. It's the work that makes all other work possible.
From Hammond, Louisiana, this is Home Care America, your weekly dose of news and information from the wonderful world of home care, waiver providers, and ICF IDD operators. It's brought to you by Cura OS, the all-in-one software solution that was forged from 30 years of experience in this industry. Here's the CEO of Cura OS, James Griffith.
The same generation that decided it was no longer appropriate to institutionalize the developmentally disabled has now realized as a result of COVID that our best option is probably not an institution for ourselves. And so I think that we're on the cusp of historic change in our long-term care delivery system. And as waiver service providers, that we need to be prepared to step up to the plate and be ready to expand our care to a much broader range of client, the elderly. And I just see this as a great opportunity for us as an industry and as a country to create a more humane, person-centered way of caring for ourselves and the elderly, as opposed to our current system, which really only allows nursing home care. So I'm really excited about the future. And I talk to a lot of providers. Some of them are really excited about the future. They see this as an amazing opportunity, a transformative time for our country. And then I talk to some providers who don't quite understand the peril that they're in, because they don't have any technological solutions. They know that the way they're doing things now are broken, but they don't know if they have the ability or the willingness to change. And then you meet with some other providers that see this as this historic moment and a great opportunity for growth. And they're anxiously looking for tools to accommodate that. Cura OS was created by Care Incorporated over 30 years. And it was just in the last year that Care Incorporated decided to re-platform and rewrite their 30-year legacy software and make it the most powerful industry-specific software that we could ever imagine. And it was during COVID that we realized that our industry was in peril and that this software, while we developed it for Care Incorporated, had a much broader need in this moment. And that was for all the providers in Louisiana that understand the situation we're in, that are willing to step up to the plate and accept the challenge for growth, to provide the accountabilities that we need to give the taxpayers as providers, and to refocus our attention where it matters most, taking care of the clients that we're charged to care for with the best possible staff that we can hire and train. So if you're listening to this podcast and you have any interest at all in learning more about Cura, I invite you to have a conversation and give us a call. Or check us out at our website, curaos.com, and we would love to hear your story. Thank you.
James Griffith, CEO of Cura OS. James will be on this podcast weekly, sharing deep insights from his 30 years of experience in the waiver provider world. But all of the team members at Cura OS have unique angles and insights on this ever-changing industry. James' sister, Bridget Wilson, who was with him for over 20 years at Care Incorporated and who is now the chief operating officer at Cura OS, had this to say at a recent meeting about how the Cura OS software came through for the care team at a time of real crisis, a Category 4 Hurricane Ida.
So on Sunday night or Sunday afternoon, when we saw that Hurricane Ida was going to had turned a little bit and was actually going to come up LaPlace, the river parishes, and go right over Hammond, you know, it was a little scary. And then the next day, Monday, we knew that we had people that had evacuated and we had supervisors that had evacuated. And on Monday, you know, we couldn't go out on the roads because they were impassable. But there were lots of people that still had internet for different reasons. And so they immediately were reaching out to their clients and their staff to check on them to see how they fared during the hurricane. And then on Tuesday, when people could actually gather together, we all, a couple of us came up to the office and we, you know, opened up our laptops and started running some reports from the notes section that's in Cura, because we had documented before the storm who was staying, who was evacuating, who had generators, who didn't have generators. So immediately we started focusing on people that stayed but didn't have a generator, and we started reaching out to them. And then we were able to get generators to people that didn't have generators. So we handed out over 10 generators, I think, maybe 15 at the final count. We handed out generators to people that needed them. And and we're focused completely on helping people. We didn't have to worry about how are we going to work, because we knew how we were going to work. We have Cura. Cura allows our staff to work from anywhere. We had people in Texas, Florida, Georgia, all over the South, and they were all working just fine from their hotel rooms or wherever they were. And those people that stayed and had access were working from their homes. And so so we spent a lot of time getting generators for people. And then as the event kept going on and on, I mean, we had people without power for more than a month. And after the first couple of days, we realized that we had to change the oil on the generators. So then we started calling everybody that had a generator and were reminding them to change the oil or getting them oil. You know, we were buying oil, we were giving people gas, we were bringing people food and bringing them gas for their generators. And so the focus of the people that were here and could help was to help our clients and our staff. We were not worried about the business because we knew that the business was okay. And when it came time for payroll, because we still didn't have power, we had no problem. We just did the payroll remotely because we can import from Lasers. If you're in Louisiana, you have to use Lasers. We imported from Lasers and we did the payroll just like normal. It was no problem. And our staff got paid through their direct deposit. And so the Cura allows the company to, in time of crisis, focus on helping people instead of focusing on how am I going to do my job. And that relieves so much stress. And we get to do what we're here to do, which is to help people. And the reason that we get to do that is because of Cura OS.
Thanks for joining us on this first episode of Home Care America. We started the podcast with a brief quote from Ai-Jin Poo, the author of The Age of Dignity, a book that was first published back in 2015 that's come back into prominence because of how much it has to say about the looming elder care crisis facing this country, a crisis that has only been accelerated and exacerbated by the COVID pandemic. But her book is also a beautiful articulation of home care and the workers and providers that make it possible. Highly recommend the book or the audiobook. It is very inspiring. Ai-Jin Poo has been making the rounds on a lot of prominent podcasts and news shows lately, and we'd like to leave you today with a longer quote from one of those podcasts, The Ezra Klein Show, put out by the New York Times. We think you'll find this passage very inspiring. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you again next week.
The average wage of a home care worker in the U.S. today is $18,200 per year. That is a poverty wage. It means that people struggle to make ends meet. I was just hearing from one of our members in Georgia who was a dedicated home care worker who really saw her job as a calling, that she was born to care for the elderly and people with disabilities and loved her job, but made $8 an hour. And she was having to make these impossible choices between paying for food for the week or buying gas to be able to get to work to her clients every day. And those impossible choices just created so much stress in her life that she had to leave care work to take a job in manufacturing where she could make $15 an hour in Georgia. And that's what's happening, is that we are losing our care workers who really do see this work as something more than work. It is a calling, it's a passion, and many of them are having to leave this profession. And in fact, today in home care, we have about a 36% turnover rate because the wages are so low. That's the thing about this moment, is we actually have data because we've just lived through this incredible disruption in our lives of the pandemic. And what happened in March and April of 2020 is that 3.5 million women were pushed out of the workforce because of caregiving challenges, because of lack of childcare and elder care and support for loved ones who were chronically ill or had disabilities. We went almost overnight to 1988 levels of women's workforce participation. That is what happens when we don't have access to the care that we need. We as a country need more care than ever before, at a time when it is less available and secure than ever before. And what I mean by that is we have two massive generations that are in a generational shift. So the baby boomers are aging into retirement at a rate of 10,000 people per day. Every 8 seconds, someone turns 65 in America. And then because of advances in healthcare and technology, people are living longer than ever before. In fact, almost 20 years longer than when we first started putting our safety net in place in the 1930s. And so we've adapted none of our policies, our systems, our culture to account for the fact that we've basically added an additional generation onto our lifespan. And all of this care that is needed to support a quality of life as we live longer, just not there. And women are having babies at a rate of 4 million babies born per year. So on both ends of the generational spectrum, we need so much care in this country, and we've never built the infrastructure or invested in the workforce that's going to support our ability to take care of the people we love. And women of color have borne the brunt of that failure, that collective societal failure. And partly because of their lack of power in our politics, we have just not addressed it. And now I think we have the opportunity to do that in a whole new way.